Well, praise the Lord. God is good. All the time. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. Well, I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord. You know, we've been in Hebrews now for about 6 weeks. 6 weeks studying in Hebrews. And we are in Hebrews, still in Hebrews chapter 6. We did good the first 4 weeks or so. Kind of went one chapter after the other. Each week we did a chapter. And when I hit chapter 6, it slowed down tremendously. Because it's now becoming very, very substantial and meaty. But we're in Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to go ahead and kind of dig into this word. We've studied where the writer of Hebrews laid out some very important points. And he was talking, of course, to the Hebrews, and they would have been folks that came out of the system of Judaism and the law, under the law and the ordinances of the law, and they were living by that. They were living by the old sacrificial system, and the sacrificial system was merely a shadow or a type of what was to come. And when that which came got here and completed his work, then the sacrificial system is no longer legitimate as it once was. And the Hebrews were struggling because they were being persecuted by some of their old Hebrew family and old friends about leaving the old Judeo system and stepping into the Christian system. And they were being persecuted, and some of them were actually considering going back to Judaism, or maybe trying to mix in Judaism with Christianity just to back off some of the persecution. And the writer was trying to get them to understand that, you know, you have received the greater light. You have received what that old system was pointing to, and you don't want to go back to that system. We have received, listen, years and years, I was searching for God, but I didn't search in the church. So to me, there was just a bunch of stuffed shirts, and they sat up there and read those scriptures, and it was boring. And of course, if you're not saved, of course it's boring. And so I went for all kinds of other religious things and religious expressions and tried this and tried that. I was talking to a brother yesterday. I said, listen, I was always looking for God long as he was me. Yeah. Long as he was me, I was looking for God. I'd even pray to him in Jesus' name, but it's me. It's come down to my will and in the end what I want, how I want this thing to go. And it took some time to understand that that's really not how it is. And he got me, and he got me good. So I'm ate up with this thing, man. He got me good. And my wife said, good. y'all didn't know me. She knew me. I guess she was saying, Lord, what am I going to do with this man? Hallelujah. Lord said, I got this. I got it. Well, Father, we're so glad this morning to be here, to enjoy fellowship with one another, and then again, fellowship, Lord, with you. And fellowship in your spirit. Now, Lord, we are approaching a small group of scripture that's very challenging in itself. It's caused great controversy among men, but I know there's no controversy in you. So, Lord, we look to you to help us to understand these next few verses of scripture in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. And to that end, Lord, we thank you and we pray that you help us not get in your way, so that we can hear and receive and benefit what thus saith the Lord unto our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 7:21-23. In this chapter, verse, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? That means powerful miracles, that wonderful is dunamis, done many powerful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work or commit iniquity or sin or rebellion against God. The question before us is, how can a person prophesy, cast out devils, do mighty miracles in the name of Jesus, and be told by Jesus, I don't know you. All of your works are sin. How could that be? That's a challenge. They're doing the things that Jesus said that believers would do. They're casting out devils. They're doing mighty works in the name of Jesus. And in the end, he says, I don't know you. We were never really acquainted. 1 John 3:2, and I'm going to, it's long. It's 3:2-11. If you want to turn there, you can. 1 John 3:2-11. And you don't have to, because I'll just read it for you, because we've got a longer way to go. It's 3:3-10, I think. It says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope or confidence in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. In other words, whosoever abides in Jesus does not sin. But whosoever abides in sin does not know Jesus. Pretty much. That's pretty much what that's saying. And abide means to remain in. It means to practice on a regular basis. And so, of course, man will always have this little things that he say, well, everybody sins. Nobody's perfect. You know? So you are contending with what Jesus is saying, in other words. You're saying that Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, because he says if you abide in Jesus, you don't sin. Okay, I mean, you know, we're not gonna work this whole thing out right here. But, you know, this we have to take by faith. I have to take it by faith, because I said, well, Lord, yesterday, he said, what did I say? Little children, I'm going to go into verse 7. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth on a regular practice, that is, sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, or does not regularly practice sin. Seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. That means he's a new creature. We got to keep that in mind. New creature. Whole different animal. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. There are just certain little key things that if we're able to hold them close, we won't struggle as hard as we do sometimes. Number one, if you know Jesus, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're not what you used to be. Even if you slip back over into something that you used to be, you got to remember in the midst of that, this is not me. I'm a new creature. Because you get over there and you start looking around and say, nothing's changed. Yeah, something's changed. That's not you. That's not your nature. Even if you're pedaling around over there and maybe laugh at some joke or something. Oh, man, I found that funny. Don't worry. It's really not funny, you know, but you just entertained it there a little bit. But it can't change your nature any more than you, Oliver, cannot be your mother's son again. Now, if we can take that back, then I want to see that relationship not being. It can't be. You can't undo it. It's a done deal. When you're born, you're born. You see, when you're born, yeah, you ain't going nowhere till the Lord call you. And either way, you ain't going back the way you came. Amen. All right, now, listen. I mean, how can the natural be greater than the spiritual? All right. It's a good question. See, it's a good question. When God does something, he does it well. And he does it completely. Hebrews 6. Turn to Hebrews 6. These are just some scriptures here. Because, I mean, this is so absolute. We got folks casting out devils in the name of Jesus and don't even know him. We do. Come out in the name of Jesus. The devil's going, ah! He's coming out. Under the authority of the name of Jesus. And they're gathering hordes of people to them. Folks are saying, that's the one, that's the one. And you follow them after the service and you go, my goodness, what in the world is this? He looked like the preacher that was up there. Oh, not only do we look like him, that's him, you know. All right, see. Say, well, my gosh, you know, so this person down, he's going to say, hold up, hold on. Where you going? Well, Lord, I'm going in there with them. Never knew you. Hebrews 6:4. Let's dig in before I start fussing again. For it is impossible, the Bible says, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, these three verses have been some of the most controversial verses in scriptures. Some folks have said, well, you can get saved and lose your salvation. Some have said that once saved, always saved. The school of thought there are Arminian and Calvinist. And I just get upset about these arguments because it's so clearly put in scripture. Jesus tells us what the deal is. But these men will get, and I was looking behind the Arminians yesterday, and I got all messed up. I just clicked it off. I just didn't want to read them. And I read some after the Calvinists, and that runs a little better because they're the reformers. But we don't need, really, the Arminians or the Calvinists to know truth. But because they've come and say, well, there's a limited atonement and all these strange things that they, these arguments, and they got books and followings and followers that, and I've, some folks say, well, I'm an Arminian. I'm a Calvinist. No, I'm a Jesus person. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. And what Jesus says, that's what I go by. And so, praise God, I know this. When he appears, I'm going to see him as he is. I know that. I'm going to be like him. I know that. So I've been personally on the receiving end of some of these particular losing salvation doctrines. I lived a long time in fear. And you might miss the rapture. I mean, fear. Afraid that I might miss the rapture and wind up in the Great Tribulation. Now, I'm supposed to be saved today, but I messed up between Sunday and Sunday, and if the rapture took place between Sunday and Sunday, you missed the rapture. You're going to go through the tribulation. But if you safely slide into church on Sunday and get there safely, okay, we can get you straight, so you're okay again. But then you go back again, and between Sunday and Sunday, listen, I used to get the kind of preaching where when you get to church, it's always something that you messed up on. And you get it, and you say, okay, I got it. You write your note. He said, this week I'm going to get this straight. And you get it straight, and you come back next week, it's something else that you messed up on. You never can get it right when you're going to try to live by the law. It's just you're not going to get it right. There's always something that you're going to miss. And I've been on the receiving. I just left. I went back out there. Well, at least the dope man knew he was consistent. He knew what he was going to do. he wasn't the right man, but he was consistent. My mind was conflicted with this thing. And so those are ones that believe you can lose your salvation. Now, it's something ain't right about this. Listen, we're going to look at our scripture today here in Hebrews again, 6:4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So that looks like someone that received Jesus. They were enlightened. They tasted of the heavenly. They have been partakers of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the word impossible is saying once that's done, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Enlightened is the Greek word protizo. It means to illuminate. That's to shine upon something which is otherwise not seen. It opens up a place where you can see and comprehend. You've been illuminated. You've been enlightened about something. You know that old saying we say, oh, I see. Now you're talking, somebody's explaining something to you, and you go, oh, I see. Well, you don't really see with your eyes, but something has been opened up in your thinking where you've got it. And so we figuratively say, oh, I see now what you're talking about. Well, you're seeing something, but it's not your physical regular eyes seeing, but you're still seeing it. You're still we praying for you too, brother. Having tasted of the heavenly gift, it speaks of eating when they say taste. It speaks of eating figuratively. It means to have experience. And so you've got some kind of experience. The heavenly gift in here in verse 4, it means something that's a gift is free. It's freely given. It's a gratuity that's given from heaven. It's something that's given from God. And so having tasted the heavenly gift spoken of, Peter mentioned it as the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he said in Acts chapter 2. As a note, the works of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit are to initiate and continue to teach and continue to reveal Jesus. Listen, you will not comprehend, you'll not see anything about Jesus unless the Holy Ghost gets involved with it. It's the Spirit of God that gets involved, and it's Him that illuminates. It's God who illuminates. It's God who shines the light. Folks, well, I'm going to get saved. You're not going to get saved unless God moves upon you to draw you to Himself. Jesus said in John 16:8 of the Holy Ghost, He said He will reprove or He will convince or convict the world of sin. That's what He said when He was talking about the Holy Ghost. This is one of His works. The first work is He convinces men of sin. The initial work of the Spirit in the life of everyone in the body of Christ is to make them aware of their sinful condition. Now, not aware of your sins, you don't need no help with that. You know about your sins. Man don't even know Jesus. You could say you're a sinner. You're going to hell. He said, tell you, I know that. I know. Tell me something I don't know. See, but I know that. You're not telling me anything. Everybody knows when they're wrong. Even animals know that. Little pets. Little pets, they do something. All of a sudden, their whole facial expression changed. When she got little pets, when she walk in the room, they change. They start acting guilty. And what did you just do? Dog's like, nothing. I didn't do nothing. That one did it. Even pets know that. <You know? laughs> It's an enlightenment that He makes of the mind. He makes it in the heart of the individual. But just because one is enlightened does not guarantee that he will act upon it. That's one of the problems. You know, people, I mean, I know you've been to some meetings where folks, or you could see conviction are on them. And they're holding on to their pew. It's almost like you could take the fingerprints off because they're holding on so tight. And the man is saying, this is the time. This is the time. Boy, they're holding down and they're gritting their teeth and the conviction of God is on them. And you almost got to snatch their hand off the thing to get them. And they're holding back. And they walk right out that door, many of them, and they will not respond to what God is doing is waking up inside of them. But they say, man, I had an experience at the meeting tonight. Well, you did. You did have an experience, but it doesn't guarantee if you don't act upon it. Many have this experience and never go any deeper. They see, they understand their condition, but they don't inquire further. They just say, well, at least I know what I need to do. Well, baby, you need to do it. You need to, you know, go a little further with this. You see, ultimately, there are many identified as Christians today who only tasted but did not eat. They were illuminated. They only tasted, but they did not eat. This is something that you have to continue on with. Continue on with. Continue on with. To partake of the Holy Ghost here is to participate, is to share, is to associate. But he opens the door and he starts showing you things, and especially your condition. And he shows it to you on a level that even you can't see it, because it's not just the acts, it's the condition of which man comes into this world in. That's the condition that is so elusive to most men. But say, well, I'm not a bad person. I don't bother people. I don't hurt nobody. I'm okay. That might be true. But do you know that good moral people are going to hell? They're going to be moral people in hell. They're going to be good people that never hurt anybody in hell, because they have not accepted what it would take in order to not be a part of that. Yeah, it is, you know. It's just hell was not made for man. Man goes as an intruder. It was made for the devil and his angels. And as man, are man going to go anyway, even though he was not invited? He's not here. Heaven was made for you, man. Jesus came for you. Oh, boy. Hebrews 6:5 and goes on and says, and they have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. This is so dynamic. It indicates that a powerful thing was done for the individual in question. Something powerful happened when that individual's eyes were illuminated. Tasted the good word of God is identified with the preaching or the exposition of the word of God in the scriptures. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and that's the hearing a report, and hearing by the word of God, the rhema of God. Listen, not the logos of God, but a rhema. That is an active, vibrant word that comes in and it reveals and it shows you what information God wants you to have right now. Logos is one thing. You read it, and you study it. But this is something that's activated as a man expounds the scriptures. It's activated, and it stirs, and it opens up understanding, and it brings information in. God does his part. He does his part. He provides the gift of the Holy Ghost. He provides the gift of the preacher or the teacher of the gospel, and he also provides that word, the rhema word of God. The rhema word of God is a very powerful word. The word of God is quick and powerful. The rhema word of God is a powerful word. It's a living word. You know, God is not dead. It's a living word. And it's a right now. I like my sister Angela says that. It's a right now God. It's a right now word. That's what it is. Rhema is a right now word. See, I thank God for all the Bible and what the Bible says, and you can glean from it. But brother, when that sister, when that rhema comes, it's a right now word. And God opens up and shows you things that nobody can see or hear but you, where you're sitting right now. Because that's that rhema word right now for you. The report is one of faith. That's what it is. If the report is believed, the arm of the Lord is revealed unto salvation. If not, the person is not changed from the old to the new creation or to the new life. It's a matter of faith. Either you believe or you don't believe. Many sit under the word and believe. We've had many come here, sit and listen, boom, back out the door. We'll see them again a year later because, what, they got in trouble or something. Something happened. They need some help now. I need you to help me because I ain't sleeping. And so they'll come and hear the word, and they leave feeling kind of better, you see. Then they'll come up and have prayer. Yeah, we're going to pray for them. Prayer is free, you see. And boom, they're going again. All right, I got what I needed. No, you didn't either. You didn't get what you needed yet. Please come back. And it says in verse 5, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. The word power in this section here in verse 5 is the Greek word dunamis. Dunamis. That power. The same thing that the Lord promised to the disciples before his ascension into heaven. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. That's what he said. Dunamis. And have tasted the powers of the world. The powers of the world to come comes in and through the person of the Holy Ghost. The powers and influence of the Holy Ghost may be in view here. Surely it is by the Holy Ghost that the next works of God are accomplished. And every work that happens after that is by the Holy Ghost, as they are accomplished in this world as well as the world which is to come. It's all under the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, the full power or the full manifestation of this power of the Holy Ghost is this. It communicates the gospel. It communicates. It gives the information concerning the gospel. It's manifested in the importance of the word of faith to the hearts of men. The power. It manifests a word of faith to the hearts of men. It manifests the change from the old creature to the new creature. The very nature changes by the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that brings that change. A new, whole new nature. You got to remember this now. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Now you got, and for some reason God is hammering this today. He's hammering somebody going to wind up in a situation maybe this next coming week. Well, you're going to need to remember now, wait a minute. That's not me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Y'all hold on to this now, right? It'll do something. I don't know, do something, but the new creation. And the Holy Ghost does that. It also manifests in the design and the ability to live the Christian life as designed by the Master. The Holy Ghost gives you the desire, and he also gives you the ability to live this particular life. All these are indications that you're there, that you are in Christ. It manifests in the manifestation of the fruit, as my brother said earlier, and the gifts of the Spirit. Well, what's more important, the fruit or the gifts? Well, I tell you what, if the fruit aren't there, then you're not part of the right root. All right, amen. Listen, I look for fruit first. The gifts are powerful and dynamic, wonderful things to see, but as we saw earlier, many are going to be operating in these so-called gifts, but the devil can counterfeit gifts. Hey, there's a hierarchy of spirits going here, as there is a hierarchy of God's angels. All angels aren't the same rank. Now, you have the archangels, you have the top angels, and you have those that come down, and we got those that they say that we entertain unaware. That means you look at them and don't recognize it. Why? They look like men. Yeah, they look like men. You go, how you doing? How you doing? Hey, can you help with something? Or you give them a good word or something? Well, thank you very much. And so that's the rank of angels. And then there's the rank of devil. So Satan, for his cause, will overpower a lower devil. And you say, come out in Jesus' name. Satan say, go on and come out. We don't really like Jesus, but I'm the boss. Come out. Go out. Guy goes, yeah, see that? I got power with God. You got power with Satan. Amen. Amen. Listen, you know, there's a bunch of counterfeits going on here. And listen, gifts never saved anybody. Miracles never saved anybody. People got received miracles from Jesus, and they was in the crowd crying, crucify him a week later. Kill him. Crucify him. So gifts. Anyway, we're not called to follow gifts. We're not called to follow signs. The Jew seeks a sign. That's another thing we got to remember. Folks are running all over the place after signs. that person healed this one, this one said this one happened, this one, and they're running behind it because it shows they can see it. But man, you're not no Jew. This thing ain't gonna help you. You need to know Jesus. Hallelujah. The report, it must be believed, and the instructions must be followed in order to benefit. It must be followed. Now, God will give you instructions. The instructions must be followed. If the individual decides, as many do, to take a different path or to define his own or her own way, if he decides to do that, no change or salvation can be expected. If they decide to take this and leave that, eat this part, leave that, don't expect it. The whole thing has to be followed. If he says forgive, you got to forgive. Lord, I want to move further in you. Well, you got to forgive that person. You know, folks will go, I don't think I'm going the way. And they won't forgive. They're going to hold on. I'm going to hold this thing in my heart. And they hurt me. And you're not going no further. Ain't no sense crying out for something other than this. For your next step, your next lesson, to go to the next level, is to forgive that person there. To forgive that organization there. To forgive that circumstance there. Let it go. Because otherwise, God is not going to help you. He is not going to anoint a disobedient vessel. Now, and don't expect it. Now, if you push past it and insist, say, I'm still going to get what I want from God, then you're pushing into some evil area. And the powers that will begin to help you and be glad to help you and be glad to see you come. Oh, wow. There go a church member. They've been a church member for 5 years. And look at them coming over in our yard. Don't say nothing. Let them come on over here. Let them come on over here. And listen, Satan, the Bible says, will transform his ministers into angels of light. They look so similar to God's ministers. And if you can't discern the difference, you get sucked in by that. Alright. Acts 2:14-36 on the day of Pentecost. Go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 2. We ain't got long. I've been trying to get out of here a certain time, but these things don't. Yeah, they don't. They don't act like it. I'm just going to read Acts 2:37-38. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached the first Christian sermon. It was the first gospel sermon that was ever preached. The first message that was ever preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost had just came. They thought that the men were drunk. Well, what makes you think somebody's drunk? Staggering around, slurring their words, laughing and having a good time and acting kind of loopy. All over you, you know, I'm your friend, you my friend, I knew your daddy, and, you know, and they thought they were drunk. And Peter. Yeah. Well, they apparently didn't get close enough because they thought that these men were drunk. That's a pretty bad breath, just to be honest. You say they got breath that will stop a clock. So now, in Acts 2:37, after Peter's sermon, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked or pierced in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's the first thing that should come out of your mouth. Now then, what should I do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent refers to a change of mind. It's a change of purpose. It turns the individual from the old ways to the way of God. best to repent. It's changed. Okay, this is it. I'm through with this old thing. I'm through. I'm going God's way, come what may. That's repent. Baptized is to be publicly identified with Jesus. Publicly. Now, granted, you're baptized in water. That is a public display of your change and identification with Jesus. But, y'all, it doesn't stop when you come up out of the water. It goes on as you walk in this world. And as you go out into this earth, you're walking under that baptism. And you're publicly identified. And listen, you don't laugh at the jokes because they're not funny anymore. I used to love Richard Pryor. I laughed so hard I about fall off the couch laughing. I used to get scared because I laughed so hard. I was scared something was going to happen, like I might have a heart attack. I laughed so hard at that man. Yeah, you know, I got saved, and I listened to Richard Pryor, and he wasn't funny anymore. He was not funny. And I listened, I kind of chuckled a little bit, but I said, that's not funny. that's not funny. It's not funny anymore. But before, I loved him. I mean, I laughed so hard at his nasty jokes, too. Man, that was, to me, it was funny. But I got saved, and it just wasn't funny anymore. Yeah. I'm a new creature now. I don't even bother anymore. But it was funny, but it's not anymore. There's that change. That's that identification with God by the Holy Ghost. These things don't have the same effect. And if they do, something needs to be checked now. Knock, knock, knock. Knock, knock, knock. If the old ways are still appealing to you, something needs to be checked. Because you might not be a new creature. And you're going to push past that, and you're going to come up to the judgment and say, Lord, I've done many mighty works in your name. I've cast out, I've done these things. You're going to say, but I never knew you. We were never acquainted. There was nothing intimate between you and I. Now remember, we're still in Hebrews 4 and 6, but this is the meat of the whole thing and the whole matter there. And how can someone taste this and not, and still not be saved? So, you know, he said in verse 4:12 of Acts, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The gift of the Holy Ghost is none other than the indwelling person and power of Almighty God inside of you. And I want to be quick to say this. If you're here, God has worked on your life, and he is working on your life. Because if it was about popularity and if it was about being where everybody else is, you sure wouldn't be here. You'd be in one of them big old mega things. And you're looking around like, well, let's look at what I'm a part of. If it was about that, you sure wouldn't be here. And you wouldn't be listening to me. Because you know I'm going straight word as close as I can get it. I like to have fun. But after that's done, let's get back in the word. Because it's what the word says that's important. And so you keep coming back. Because the word has a place in you. And you want to hear it. Amen. That's why you come back. That's why I come. That's why I'm here. Because of the word. And you say, but my life. I know. But God is working on your life. He's working on your life. And just continue to follow the instruction. You say, but look at that one. He's way. Don't look at that one. Look at you. Look at you today and look at you the same day a year in the past. Look at you. Look at you. Look at you today and look at you a year in the past. And see, are you the same? I'm not the same. God is working on you. And praise God for it. Hallelujah. One must not think that God will deposit his Holy Spirit in a vessel of disobedience. I already said that. You cannot do it your way and expect God to change to accommodate your idiosyncrasy. You can't do it. Well, I know the Bible says this, but I just believe I can do this. Okay? You know, what's sad is that the church as we know it today is filled with self-styled Christians. and making it up as they go. And one of the things I can't stand is, baby, just fake it till you make it. Usually grandma say that, and I could just grab grandma by her hair and just yell at her. Grandma, don't tell them that. Satan ain't faking. Your enemy is not faking. He has leveled the artillery of evil at you and wants to take you out. But whatever you do, don't fake it. To thine own self be true. You're where you are. Amen. You are where you are. Don't be trying to be something any past where you are. Grow from your spot. But keep growing. And if it's down, if you're weak, if you failed, well, I'm down. I'm weak. I failed. And from there, go forward. Come on now. Move forward. And it's just stuff like, well, I want to go back to where God is. Why are you going back? Man, you made it to this point. Stop from here and go forward. Thank God for that. That's old stuff. Go forward with it. Keep moving. Keep going. Keep growing. Hallelujah. And the thing that looks so bad is as these self-styled Christians, they are regular church members. They go to church every Sunday. They pay their tithes and they sing their songs and they help clean the church and they help do little things and they greet people at the door and they still ain't. It still ain't working right. You know? I went to a church one time once, and I went in, and the ushers, buddy, they had this look on their face like somebody mad about something. Sit anywhere you want to sit. I said, well, okay. That's what I'll do, you know. I don't want to bother her. I mean, she was mad. I'm like, baby, you shouldn't be ushering. You should be sitting down. You can't serve with that. Look like you've been baptized in pickle juice, you know what you mean?
Come on in.
You know, good night. Like I said, I went there once. A couple of other things went on, and I said, okay, that's they can't help me, you know. Again, Hebrews 6:4-6 says as we bring it on home, amen. Was it possible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have taken, okay, Oliver. That's all right, brother. I love it. And have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world, if they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. In other words, for if that individual to be get saved again, Jesus got to come back and be crucified again. It ain't going to happen. He's not going to repeat his work. What he's done, he's done. It's not going to happen. That's why I say it's impossible. Does this mean that certain believers who were once regenerated and changed from the old nature to the new nature will fall away to renew them again? Until repentance apparently speaks of the same repentance mentioned in verse 1, all the way back in verse 1, where it's repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. The dead works are identified there as the sacrificial systems and sacrifices that are performed under the Judeo tradition. And from that repentance, that means that they changed from the old Judeo tradition. Remember, he's trying to keep them from going back to that. So you're not going to go back and then repent again and again and again. You already repented from that. You already changed. It's impossible for that to renew them again. These things were shadows. They were talking about the coming Lamb of God. And he came to take away the sin of the world. In other words, the gospel message will do no more after one falls away from what he has heard. It'll bring you up to the point where you are. And you say, well, I'm going to go back and hear it again. You've already heard it. Don't expect to listen to that message again. And it's already imparted to you what you need to know to go to the next step. Individual already knows in his heart what he's heard. And he knows in his heart that it was true. Because the Holy Ghost showed him, even though he may or may not have availed himself to the offer of salvation. When the Holy Ghost speaks, he bringing an offer of salvation to you. He does. And I'm just saying that not everybody, as he says, that says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And not everyone that God works on and open their minds necessarily accept it and come on in from there. Some go, well, not ready, not yet, not today. But they still come to church on a regular basis. They go to church on a regular basis. They're self-styled many. They're their own brand of Christianity. And if God wants me, he's going to have to accept me the way I am. And I'm going to keep this, or I'm going to stay like this. But I will pay my tithe and give offering, and I'll come and I'll usher and I do all these things, but I'm going to keep that for me. That's mine. God's going to have to accept that. I went to God one time. I said, Lord, I want to be closer to you now. I need a closer walk. He said, I can't. I said, why? Because you still got that. He's pointing at my joint. I'm like, dang. Oh, man. That had to go if we're going to get closer. You know why? It's not so much so that it's bringing such sin in my life, but it was standing in between me and him because I got my comfort from this. And you must get your comfort from him. And listen, this was a joint, but what's yours? What's yours? All right? You can say, well, I never done that. Yeah, but you got something going there. Is it something standing between you and him? What's yours? Okay? Right? Amen. Now turn over to John 10, because I want to call your attention to something after having said all of this. And I like this. This settles in my mind the Calvinist Arminian controversy where one say, well, once saved, always saved. Well, you have a limited salvation and you can walk away and you can lose it and all that. John chapter 10, verse 24. If you got it, say amen again. Amen again. Verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and look at this, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My sheep hear my voice. You hear. If you're his sheep, you hear. Listen, he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Look at this. And no man will pluck them out of my Father's hand. There's Jesus on the earth and the Father in heaven. And he's got us covered and protected in Jesus and the Father. Listen, there's no falling away for you if you know him. There's no, well, we backslide, of course, you know. We kind of make little things, do little crazy, dumb stuff. But there's no falling out of born again. There's no losing born again. Once it's done, it's a done deal. You cannot get unborn again. My sheep hear my voice, he said. They hear. We hear. We hear his voice. And he says, they shall never, I'll add, ever perish. And there are other scriptures that Jesus said that go right along with this. Listen, he is our supreme protector. He is our supreme keeper. You say, well, I said so-and-so the other day. Oh, well, congratulations. I missed in this curse word. Slipped out. Well, how about you? Well, isn't that a sin? See, there you go. There you go. Well, yeah, you shouldn't do it, but it won't change the nature. It doesn't change the nature. And if your nature hadn't changed, this, we wouldn't be having even this discussion about it. You wouldn't even care. But because you care, there's something in you that's a standard that's saying, no, that's not you. That's not your nature. And so you kind of start falling in line with that. If you don't fall in line with it, you're just going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable, and the Holy Ghost is going to keep reminding you, say, hey, once again, that's not you. That's not your nature. You're different than that. You say better. You're different than that. Amen? Once you know him and he knows you, according to Jesus, he says, my sheep will never perish. Never, ever perish. That's good news, y'all. That's Hebrews 4, Hebrews 6, verse 4 through 6. That's what we just talked about, is what those scriptures are about. And it's back and forth, back and forth. And, you don't keep the law, you're still going to go to the Hades. Mm-hmm. In Christ Jesus, you are secure throughout eternity. Never perish. We got to know this. Regardless of how horrible things look or what kind of mess you find yourself in, if you're in Jesus, you will never, ever perish. And that's what's important, that you don't perish.